Whether it is beef and China or the U.S. dollar, there's a lot of factors that have been weighing in on today's market trade. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo is joining us today, Mike, with Global Commodity Analytics. And I wanted to start out with beef in China because you had shared with your subscribers a great article that came out of Reuters. And for me, it really helped to put even stronger face on what is happening in these tariff discussions and a tariff war that we're in, Mike. And that has to do with an American-style barbecue restaurant in Beijing saying, hey, in a few weeks, we're going to be serving Australian beef.
Yeah, and this is part of the dynamic that the U.S. dollar has to play in favor of us, Susan, when it comes to how are we going to hold on to the demand side and the consumption side, not just with China, because we can, you know, lose China. We haven't been sending much to China anyway this past, you know, 6-8 months. But the real question is, how do we handle South Korea? How do we handle Japan in terms of U.S. beef exports going into those countries? And then with that article and what you just elaborated on, how do we handle our competitors coming in and taking that same business from us? Because China is indeed looking for another way to get beef from other sources. And one of the things that I've continued to keep track of has been the Brazil-China relationship and the Argentina-China relationship because of the agriculture exports that those two countries have, including beef, obviously, that could go into China. And we saw an opening of a deep water port off the coast, the Pacific coast, in Peru. Shankei is the name of it. And it is built by China, 60% owned by Costco China, 40% owned by the country of Peru. We are now seeing that they're developing a transcontinental railroad from eastern Brazil, say somewhere around Santos, Sao Paulo area, all the way over to that Shankei Peru port, with the ideas they get that transcontinental railroad built, or you know, trans-country railroad built. They can then ship out of the Pacific. They don't have to go through the Panama Canal. They can save anywhere from 30 to 50% on transportation costs. And the amount of time that they cut, it goes from about 20 to 30 days down to 10 to 12 days to Shanghai, China. And so it just, that article really does frame it very nicely and very seriously, how much this could be a generational shift as far as where agriculture exports go to or come from and imports go to because of the U.S.-China trade problems and frictions that we have right now. And I would also throw on top of that, since you brought that article up, it really underscores Vice President Vance's meeting and trip to India and how in his speech today we saw reports where he spoke specifically about India taking more U.S. ethanol. What we need at this point in order to create an environment that we see commodity demand pick up again and be very strong again is essentially, if we're going to lose China, pick up India in a big, big way. And honestly, when you look at the population and you look at the metrics of consumption and how much growth India could do, I was told by the head of our clearing firm 4 years ago, India is the next China when it comes to stimulating their economy and stimulating their consumption for agriculture exports. And so I think that's really very much in play right now. We really kind of need India. And as I said a minute ago, we need Japan and South Korea as well before essentially China can get to them, because it is a kind of a winner-take-all strategy at this stage because we're vying for the same demand.
So what is your thoughts as you look at the way the dollar has been trading, the drop that we've seen as of recent that just caught everybody's attention, agriculture or not?
It has, and it really softened the blow for commodity funds wanting to sell commodities. And that soft dollar and record high gold price, it really, other than the interest rates going up in the bond market, that you couldn't ask for almost a better fertile or environment-rich situation when it comes to commodities and supporting the commodity prices. And what we saw on Tuesday, I think, was kind of a glimpse of the reversal of that mindset. We saw the gold stay up, but not, you know, really sharply higher. We saw the dollar find support on some short covering. And I think that really took it out of the wheat and the corn specifically. Weather, in terms of improved corn planting weather and improved hard red wheat belt rainfall weather and western corn belt rainfall weather, that those weather features, along with the strengthening dollar, seem to really unwind the long corn, long wheat mindset in the trade. So one day doesn't make a trend, but it's certainly worth watching.
Well, and you talk that weather, Mike, and obviously weather premium, and some describe it as kind of being sucked out of this corn and the wheat market. And we know that moving forward, we're into planting season, weather's going to become more of a focus, even with all the trade happening.
I couldn't agree more. And when you look at a lead month wheat chart in either soft red or hard red, but looking at a soft red wheat chart, we made new 2-week lows in wheat today. We made new 2-week lows in the corn today. Our major low from back in March of this year in wheat was around that 517 area, Susan. And then when you look at the earlier March low of around 515, you're talking about levels that we haven't seen for several years. I mean, our August of last year low was 494, 493 area. So closing at the 535 level, we're only about 50 cents away or less than 50 cents away of banging back down towards 3-4 year lows in the wheat complex. And you really got to wonder why that would be, given the fact that we've got 21% of the wheat crop in the country, very poor and poor condition combined. And if you look at the layout of the winter wheat states, the major 18 states, 5 of the 18 states have 20% or worse or more very poor, poor conditions. And so I would argue there's very little, if any, weather premium in this wheat price on the futures board right now.
Lots that we looked at today, Mike. I appreciate you taking time to join us. That's Mike Zuzulo. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. I'm Susan Littlefield, and you're listening to the American Ag Network.